If we're going to get serious about transitioning into kingdom first living, going beyond being that ordinary Christian and becoming that person that God truly uses in the earth, there are some practical adjustments and changes that have to occur in our lives.
The editor of a national newspaper was asked how he and his staff turned a failing publication into one of the country's most respected and trusted news sources. His answer was simple. We just decided to. Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Decisions. That's what your life boils down to, a series of decisions. Today, Pastor Paul issues a challenge to anyone who wants to become a Kingdom First Christian. Take stock of the choices you're making, and if necessary, make changes. Stay with us now, or visit PastorPaul.net to hear any recent message on demand at PastorPaul.net. Now let's join him for today's Destined for Victory message, Changing Our Priorities.
If we're going to get serious about transitioning into kingdom first living, going beyond being that ordinary Christian and becoming that person that God truly uses in the earth and can send his blessings into our lives because we are dedicated completely to what he wants for us, there are some practical adjustments and changes that have to occur in our lives. And I took the time to read this passage because in this passage, Paul gives us his own glimpse of his own spiritual journey. And in looking at Paul's journey, we can find some real insight into how we too can transition into kingdom first living. The first thing I want you to consider about the transition is this: changing your priorities. Changing your priorities. If you want to go from being the run-of-the-mill Christian who has the testimony of salvation, loves God, thanks God for being saved, but you now want to catapult into another realm of living. You want to not just know that you're saved, but you want to know that your life is dedicated, sanctified, set apart for God's purposes, and you are really going to make a difference. First thing you want to do is change your priorities. Look at how Paul explained his own spiritual journey. He said, I used to be completely consumed with the idea of being a great Israelite, a great Pharisee. He said, I was doing well. In fact, I was head and shoulders above many of my peers in Israel. And he gives some of the points that used to be bragging points for him. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he was a Pharisee. With regard to zeal, he persecuted the church. You know, whoever read the book of Acts, that before Paul got saved, he was the worst thing that ever happened to the church. I mean, this man went way out of his way to persecute the church. In fact, when he got saved, he was on his way to Damascus, armed with papers, to extradite Christians who lived in Damascus, take them back to Jerusalem where he could have them persecuted. This man was on a mission. It wasn't a godly mission, but he was on a mission. He says, as for legalism, he was faultless. He was faultless. But then he turns in this testimony. Look at what he says. He said, but whatever was my profit, I now consider loss. Used to be profit, but when you have a turn, what was profit becomes loss. What's the difference? The difference is priority. He says, my goal used to be a fine Israelite. Now my goal is to know Christ. And to have Christ be first and foremost in my life. Do you know that when you decide you are going to be a kingdom first Christian, that decision turns the very course of your life? You've got to make a decision. Your priorities, I want you to know, are not given to you. Your priorities are adopted by you. How do I come to make important what is important in my life? At a certain point, I decide this is the direction I'm supposed to go in. Do you know God can call you, but you have to answer the call? Just because you're called doesn't mean you're going to respond appropriately. Sometimes people run from a call. I ran from my call. You say, oh, I'm so blessed by Pastor Paul's ministry. I thank God for that man. I hope some of y'all say that. It's wishful thinking. I hope some of y'all say, oh, I thank God for my pastor. I love my pastor. He teaches the word of God and he gives it to a straight, no chaser. Thank you for that encouragement. I appreciate it. See, if I had checked out of here last Saturday, y'all be in here screaming and crying. I didn't even know that you loved me. And if that's your, oh, I thank God for him. What you need to know is I'm not preaching because somebody made me preach. I'm not pastoring because I was made. I was called. But the nuts and bolts of the way God deals in our lives is he gives us response-ability. You have the ability to respond to what he says. So we saw Jonah in the Old Testament called to Nineveh, and we saw him turn around and head another direction. Right? And God had to deal with him. Now, one of the things you will learn about God is when God plays a call on your life, he's not playing. How many know God's not playing? When he calls you, the call is serious. And you can try to outrun God all you want. But all you're going to find yourself doing is taking the scenic route to what he has ordained for your life. But here's the point I want to make to you. There is an active moment of surrender of saying yes to God's call. Here's the way Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He was talking to them about the fact that he had been intending to come visit them and he hadn't gotten there. And some of the people said, see, Paul is fickle and flaky and we can't count on him. And he was addressing his critics as he did often in 2 Corinthians. And he said, no, I want to let you know that when I said I was coming, I was serious, and I am indeed going to get there. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm coming. And then he went on to talk about God. He said, because all of the promises of God are yes. Then he says, but the amen must be spoken by us to the glory of God. Powerful statement. Paul said, when God makes promises in your life, those promises are yes. Meaning when God says something about your life, it is settled. It is yes. God's not trying to make it happen. It is so. But there is a response-ability. And Paul said, while God says yes, he is looking to you to say amen to what he said yes to. Amen means so let it be. Amen means I line up my priorities, Lord, with your will. What do you think Jesus was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was lining up his heart with the will of the Father. He said, my flesh is saying, is there another way out of this? He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. It's lining up your priority with the will of God. I'm preaching because God called me, but then he gave me the blessing of the ability to say yes to the call. I want to let you know everything good that's going to happen in your life is going to happen through the blessing of God and through your deliberate changing of your priorities to line them up with the will of God. Your priorities have got to start driving your life. I want to tell somebody who is used to living by your conditions that now that you're in the kingdom, you got to get out of condition-based living. You know what I mean by condition-based living? People who are used to just kind of letting the winds of life blow them anywhere.
Stay with us. The rest of today's Destined for Victory message is straight ahead. You know, right before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples to go out into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission here at Destined for Victory, to share this good news with a world that so desperately needs to hear it. You can help. To make a safe and secure online donation, or to shop our online store for a host of great resources, please visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. Or download our free mobile app by searching for Destined for Victory in your app store. Pastor Paul Shepherd calls it condition-based living, a way of life in which decisions are rooted in emotion, not faith. The rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Changing Our Priorities, starts right now. And once again, here's Pastor Paul.
You won't get anywhere good if you are like a ship without a sail. What will happen is you'll just end up on an island somewhere. You'll just be Gilligan's Island all over again. You just drip. You don't know where you are, how you got there. And I'm here to tell you, God is intentional in your life, and He is now calling you to be intentional about responding to His plan and purpose for you. You got to get out of condition-based living. Condition-based living prioritizes our feelings. How many know your feelings will not often get you where you ought to go? How many know that if you work your job based on your feelings, you won't have a job very long? How often do you wake up and say, I don't feel like those folk today? I do not feel like it. I'm tired. I don't want to get out of this bed. Okay, thanks for sharing. But something in you ought to say, now that I have complained, now that I've got my little exhale, get your happy hips out of this bed. Get in that shower. Shower off that grogginess. Start singing yourself a praise and worship song. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, get some breakfast, get in that car or on BART or whatever you do, and get to work. Because it's not about how I feel. My feelings have nothing to do with it. The bills say go to work. My family says go to work. Isn't that right? It's not about feeling. You can't live your life based on the way you feel. Your feelings don't get you where you ought to be. We've got to learn in the kingdom first economy to live by the calling of God. I live by His call. I don't live by the way I feel about His call. I didn't want to preach. God didn't ask me if I wanted to. There was no discussion. There was no vote. It was His plan, plain and simple. And when I first started speaking, I would make people promise not to bill me as a preacher because I didn't want to be one. But I knew I had a gift in it. I knew I was called, and I loved the Lord, so I wanted to do His will. I was just trying to find some little happy medium. I wanted to do His will, but I found out God really didn't care. I went to Kansas City as a teenager and was sharing. The man had me come, the pastor had me come. I said, listen, don't bill me as a preacher. I'm just a youth speaker. He said, fine. He agreed to that. And all weekend long, he addressed me as the youth speaker. Sunday afternoon, after this weekend of youth services, all these young folk had gotten saved. Revival had broken out there. God had blessed them through this peer of theirs preaching and challenging them to love God and all of that. And this pastor was driving me back to the airport at Kansas City. I guess he had put up with enough of my rules and regulations all weekend long. And now the meeting was over. He could say what he wanted. He looked at me, shook his finger in my face, said, I don't care what you call yourself. God has called you to preach. And the sooner you say yes, the better off you're going to be. And he was right. I was in college fighting God, trying desperately not to be in vocational ministry. But I found out that if you want to be kingdom first, in the kingdom, the king doesn't ask you what you think. Doesn't ask you what you think. The king speaks, and it is so. And I'm here to tell somebody that if you really want to get serious about kingdom first living, for you, it might not involve vocational ministry. If it doesn't, you need to shout just for that alone. But if God blesses you to be able to fulfill His will without having a ministry-based job, you ought to be happy just about that alone. Because I'm telling you, this is no cookie and Kool-Aid party. Vocational ministry is... No, buddy, this is no joke. Folks say, "Woo, boy, I wish I had your life." Please. Please, please. You get scrutinized coming and going. First, you got to fight spiritual warfare. The devil hates your guts. He knows if you can smite a shepherd, you can scatter the flock. So he's after you all the time. You feel pressure from within, pressure from without, the expectations of people, all of that stuff. Everybody weighs in on everything you do, everything you think, every place you go, everywhere you... Other day, man called me, left a voicemail saying somewhere in the country he heard me preaching, and he said, there's enough degradation of the English language, and now you're on radio with your Ebonics. You need to speak properly. He sure did. I forwarded it to my whole executive staff. I said, let them have a laugh today. Because God's got me to the place, you know, what he does, God just insulates you for your calling. I got to the place where when folk want to do that kind of stuff, it used to hurt my feelings back early in ministry. You can say, well, you can take the best shot you got now. I'm so busy trying to fulfill my purpose for God. Take your best shot. I promise you when you get through, I'm going to stand there and look at you. I've had my days on the canvas. And I'm through with it. I just sent it to them so they could have a laugh. And if he had left his name and number, I'd have called him back and said, listen, if you want to hear proper, God has put so many folk on the radio and they don't even know Ebonics. They couldn't do it if they tried. They couldn't do it if they tried. So you got plenty of folk who can bless you with the perfect English that you really want to hear when you tune the radio. But when you see me coming, get ready. Because I have a unique calling, I come from a unique culture, and God has blessed me to blend it all in for the sake of his kingdom. Now, if God tells me to cut it out, I'll cut it out. But right now, he's using it for his purpose. I get for every one of those, I get untold hundreds of people saying, I can connect with what you're saying. God uses it to help me understand how to apply the word of God to my life. And so in the words of that old song, I gotta be me. Gotta be me. I'm called. And God has a calling on your life. Whether it's going to change your vocation or not, God has a calling on your life. But the first thing you have to do is line up your priority with what God is saying to you. You got to line up your priorities. If God has been dealing with you about improving some of your relationships or settling some differences, I talked in the last series about Hannah and talked about how, you know, she had that strife with Peninnah and all of that and misunderstanding with Eli. And maybe God is dealing with you about kingdom first living for you means you got to finally bury the hatchet. You had some stuff that you have just buried, or you've been actively in strife with someone, and now God wants you to bury that and settle your differences and improve your relationships. Guess what? You've got to change your priority and say, God, if it's important to you, then it is now important to me. It is not about whether I feel like making up with somebody. Because there have been plenty of times in my life, and I'm sure in some of yours, where I didn't feel like I liked the fact that I was estranged from certain folk. It actually felt rather good. Come on, let's be honest. We can't get any help till we're honest. Actually, you ever felt good about being estranged from somebody? Oh, it was perfectly fine with me. What's the problem? Oh, but when God says, no, no, you're representing me. And I want you now to view that relationship through my eyes. It means you have to change your priorities. You have to decide what's important to God is important to me. I'm talking about the power of intentionality. When we deal with priorities, we're talking about being intentional. You have to be intentional about the priorities of your life. How do you become what you do for a living? You, at a certain point, many of you chose a profession. In fact, let me prove it right now. How many of you are currently in a profession that you decided upon very early in your life, maybe as a preteen or a teenager, before you got to college or anything, you knew what you wanted to do? Let me just see. Somebody, would you run up and just let me interview you real quick? Yeah, come on up, real quick. This is harmless. It's fine. Give her a hand. She's coming on. All right. Praise God. Everybody, your first name?
Patricia.
Patricia, what are you doing now that you thought you would do years ago?
I am a teacher. You're a teacher. When did you decide you want to? Thank God for teachers. Or else we all be dumb. All right. When did you decide you want to be a teacher?
When I was 6 years old.
6 years old. You hadn't had that many teachers by then. What about it really appealed to you?
Well, I think my mom was a teacher, and she used to teach me since I was very little. Actually, I skipped preschool, and I felt the calling really early that I will be a teacher. I always knew it.
Now, so you knew early on that you wanted to be a teacher. At what point then did you begin? How did that shape the way you moved through your life, through your preteens and your teens and that sort of thing?
Because I have the opportunity to help the teachers in my school in elementary. And when I was 11 years old, I became a teacher, an art teacher, because this teacher needed to have two works. They have to work in two places at a time. And she said, can you take the fourth grade class for me? And I said, okay.
You were 11?
Yes. Yes.
She was 11 years old and subbing for the fourth grade class. Yes.
Well, this is in Guatemala. You need to know this never would happen here.
All right. In Guatemala, this happened. They took a chance on her. How did you do?
Well, I was very, whatever I keep my books from years, and I was in sixth grade, and I have my books from fourth grade, and I knew exactly what to do. And I went in, and I started class, and I did it for the whole year.
And how long have you been teaching?
Oh, over 20 years, you know, after.
Come on, let's thank God for her. Thank you so much. Intentionality. Intentionality. You don't just wake up one morning, whatever it is you are. It begins with a decision. Your priorities are set by you. No one sets them for you. You set your priorities. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Look at other natural examples. You set your priorities, the things you'll become passionate about, the things that will become your greatest hobbies. You decide those. No one sets those for you. You make the decision. You who love certain teams, you love those teams because you decided one day to love the team.
You know, God is always in control, but He's not controlling. He tells us how we should live and then lets us decide whether or not to obey Him. Thanks so much for being here with us for today's message, Changing Our Priorities. We'll pick it up right here tomorrow on our next edition of Destined for Victory. Well, on behalf of Pastor Paul and all of us here at Destined for Victory, let me say how thankful we are for your prayers and financial support. Almost every day we hear stories of people whose lives have been touched, people who have come to faith in Christ as a direct result of listening to Destined for Victory, a broadcast made possible by listeners like you. In appreciation of your gift of any size this month, we'll be happy to send you by request Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, The Power of Praise. There really is great power in praise. It's a prelude to victory, a prescription for peace. In this great resource from Pastor Paul, you'll discover why praise is so critical to the life of a believer in Christ and how it can revolutionize your relationship with your Savior. Again, that's The Power of Praise, a booklet from Pastor Paul Shepherd, our gift to you by request for your gift of any size. Call 855-339-5500 to make your pledge over the phone. Or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. That's Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also make a safe and secure donation online at PastorPaul.net. If you need prayer today, you're invited to visit PastorPaul.net, and from the homepage, click Contact Us, where you can share your request so that we can pray for you. When you contact us, be sure to ask for Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, yours at no cost or obligation.
Do you know most Christians do not pray regularly? Most Christians do not read the Bible regularly? Why? Because they haven't decided to.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Changing Our Priorities. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.